I'm going to have to take it out. They're off. It shines on my iPad and in my eye. trying to get rid of that little mint I had in my mouth. Heard a story one time about a preacher that I don't know if it was Don or not, but somebody preached a long time. And I don't know who it was. I just heard the tale. Anyway, said he put a mint in his mouth, and the preacher thought it was gone. And it worked good until one day he got a hold of a button. May have been. But anyway, my subject is the freeness of salvation, Isaiah chapter 55, if you want to be turning there. I appreciate the prayers of all those that have prayed for me and called and asked about me. I wasn't sure. Some people told me I didn't have a heart. And then they did some experiment and found out I had one. Then they sent me to Charleston to see if it was made out of stone or not. But anyway, I'm in pretty good shape. They're not going to do any surgeries on me. They found three. They didn't call them blockages. They called them restrictions. They're going to treat it with medication and come back in first of the year and see if it's still working. So anyway, I appreciate all the prayers. Appreciate all of you came to our revival. We had a good meeting. The church is revived. I feel revived from it. And it was a good meeting. And I think it's good when churches support one another when there's a meeting going on. But if you have Isaiah chapter 55, I want to read the first three verses. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath money, and he hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." I was thinking about salvation and the freeness of salvation, and I kind of like Ray, I was tempted to put another title on this, the freeness of satisfaction. If you're saved this morning, you should be satisfied. Amen. Completely, 100%. I'm reading and looking some things through. I come across a story or an account. I don't know. The difference between a story and an account is a story might be true, it might be not be true. But anyway, said there was a rich man come by and saw a fisherman sitting on a bank by his boat. He asked him, why are you not out there fishing? He said, "Well, I've caught all the fish I need for today." He said, "Well, why don't you go out and catch some more?" He said, "Why would I do that? I don't need them." He said, "Well, you could earn more money and buy a bigger boat, and you go farther out and you catch more fish and make more money and buy more nets. Soon you'd have a fleet of boats and to be a rich man like me." And he said, "Well, why would I do that?" And he said, "Well, so you can sit back and enjoy life." He said, "What do you think I'm doing now?" So that's kind of way people look at things. They're never satisfied. Then I come across this another little thing. I'll give it to you before we go on. And it says, "As a rule, man's a fool. When it's hot, he wants cool. And when it's cool, he wants hot. Always wanting what is not." So that pretty well satisfied. But that's the truth.
That's good, brother.
But there's a lot of people laboring for more things, and there's a lot of people in the world they don't seem content. But whenever we know the Lord and know what we have there, we should be as content as anybody could ever be, as satisfied as can be.
Amen.
And the fact that people are looking for a place of contentment and looking for things to provide them contentment, we can look at these verses here and we can find answers to these questions. People seek satisfaction in possessions. And I don't know, there's nothing wrong with owning a Martin guitar, is it, Don?
Right.
Or an Epiphone, for that matter. Or a Taylor. I know at least one owns a Taylor. But no matter what we get, we can accumulate a lot of stuff. Now, depending on who you are, whether it's stuff or junk. Some of you fellas, you know what I mean when your wife says, get this junk out of here so I got a place to put my stuff. But they wear out. Sooner or later, we'll go and leave it here. People seek satisfaction in their pursuits. They labor after things that don't satisfy. But these verses reveal God's true source of permanent satisfaction. And in verse 1, he offers salvation. When God issues this invitation, this verse, he makes some pretty wonderful offers that are too good to pass up. And you've heard of deals that were too good to pass up. And I've seen a few that I thought was too good to pass up till after I made the deal and seen what the payments was going to be and all that. But it says there, first thing it says, he offers water. Water is one of the most important substances to human beings that there is. I don't know for sure. Our bodies, they say, is comprised of 60-70% water. I don't know. But it takes a lot of water to keep us alive. Average human being, according to what I've seen and been told and all, can live around 3 days without water. We have to have it to live. In the Bible, it's often a picture of a new birth. When Jesus talked to Nicodemus there in John 3:5, he said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And it can be also a picture of the gospel message there. It's the very message that we have to hear. We have to receive it by faith in order to be saved. And he spoke to the woman at the well in John 4. And he said to her, whosoever drank of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drank of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So the word drinketh there in verse 13, it's in the present tense. I have to look up something. I'm not a good student of English grammar. Matter of fact, in high school I had English first period, second period, third period, and fourth period. I had junior. I had all four of them in a row. Finally, I finally did graduate there after 14 years. So I probably butcher English as bad as anybody. But it refers to a continual action, is the point I'm wanting to make here. Even if you drink continually from Jacob's well, you get thirsty again. And the drinketh here is, I'm not sure, it says it's an aorist tense, whatever, and it refers to a one-time action. It never did make sense to me to take a perfectly good sentence like you taught us in English and take it apart and hang it on all them little racks that called diagramming a sentence. I never did understand that. But, I've had a lot of dangling participles in my time. And all those, I can't even remember what they were. Anyway, I got through it. I don't think I learned anything. But he offers water, and he promised complete contentment to everyone that will come and drink of that water, the point I want to make here. It's unlike physical water. We need to drink it, physical water, again and again and again. Last few days, I've had to drink a lot of water for some reason. Then the bad part is I get up at night and go where I got to go, and then I got to get another drink of water because I'm thirsty, and then the next thing you know, I got to go again. But that it shows things are still flowing. The water that he gives us, it's there. It's fresh water. It never gets old. We're to continually drink of it. And then another thing he mentions there, he offers wine. Today, wine has a stigma to it because of the abuse of it. But you can't take the Bible and prove 100% abstinence from alcohol. It's the abuse of it. Same way with any other medication or whatever it is. I mean, you can abuse anything. Even a Epiphone guitar. Or a Martin D28. But the point is, if you let that consume your thoughts and your mind and your actions. And in the biblical times, I've read and been told that most of the water wasn't fit to drink. And they mixed wine with it to kill the bacteria in the water and so make it drink. Well, I think some people don't want to take chances on getting any bacteria so they don't fool with the water. Just drink the wine. But it was often used also to picture joy. In Psalm 105, it's used sometimes at a feast and happy celebrations. It's also a picture of the Holy Spirit in some places. And I don't know what I've got written down here. I've got to the point anymore that I have to pretty much write my sermons that word for word, or I forget what I'm doing. Then I can't read my notes. But we're joyful. When we have salvation, that's what I want to say. Salvation brings joy. You know, they accused the apostles of being drunk with new wine. But they wasn't drunk. They hadn't even been drinking. They were just filled with the Spirit. They were happy. When the Spirit controls us, we should be some of the happiest people on earth. Story of I think my sister or her daughter, somebody, I heard talking about they were going somewhere and they saw a horse out in the field. And somebody said, "What kind of a horse is that?" And said, "It's a Baptist horse." Said, "How you know?" Said, "Because he's got a real long face." We shouldn't have a long face as the Lord's people. If we have salvation that's offered free, we got more to rejoice about and be happy about than anybody else on earth. The Lord took those water pots there at the marriage of Cana and filled them with water and turned it into wine. And it said there that when you read that account, that they usually brought out the worst wine after people were drunk. But he brought out, he made the best. I'm not saying to get drunk at a wedding feast. That's not what I'm saying. I did hear a preacher talking about one time he was at a wedding. They had some punch. He said, "That stuff was hot." He said, "It had a bite to it." I don't know what may have been in it. But anyway, the Lord turned the water into wine. And it can make a heart joyful. The Scripture says to use those things the right way. Paul told Timothy to use a little wine for his stomach's sake. And another thing we see is he offers milk. Milk is essential for a healthy growth. Milk's the first substance newborn babies receive as their nourishment. Milk is the provision of the mother for a hungry baby. It contains all the essential nutrients that's needed to transform the baby into a healthy child. Milk in the Bible also is a picture of the Word of God. Not only does God give us water for life and that Spirit and all that saves us and makes us joyful, He gives us the Word to help us grow. You know, there's no excuse for a child of God not knowing what the Bible says.
That's the truth, brother.
If a person is still a babe in Christ after they've been saved a while, there's only one thing that you can say, and that is they're lazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
Because if you're a child of God, God puts that in you. He puts a desire in you to want to know what His Word says. there's a lot of people in the family of God that hadn't benefited from a formal education. Some didn't learn to read and write very well. And sometimes the world looks on them, on the Lord's people, sometimes as ignorant and unlearned people. But in truth, if we know what God's Word says, we're wiser than they are. Far wiser than the world.
Amen.
If you know the way of salvation, you know about the righteousness of God, and you know about faith, we know this because we've been drinking the milk of the Word of God. We've been drinking the water and the wine of the enjoyment and all. And then when we look at the on down in this verse, the price of it, it's the right price. You know, I don't know who's got this show now. Bob Barker years ago had The Price is Right, I think. If you knew the price of something, you could win a car and all that stuff. But the world makes you pay for everything you get. Religion will make you labor for every blessing that you think you'll receive. Sin and the flesh and the world make you pay dearly for any promise of contentment that they offer. But on the other hand, God places every offer on the table as a free gift. There's no price to be paid. God's gifts are free. Anyone can receive them. God doesn't require money. He doesn't require righteousness. He doesn't require good works, as Brother Sexton already mentioned, or any other resource. We don't have to have any resources. We don't have to have anything. As a matter of fact, usually before we're saved, the Lord brings us to a place where we realize we don't have anything. And He wouldn't accept it if we did have it. If we had anything to offer, everything to offer, He wouldn't accept it. The only currency that God requires is the currency of faith. And when we exercise faith, he'll open up the storehouse of blessings. And it says He'll give us a blessing that we can't contain.
Yes, sir.
And another thing, He says to try Him.
Yeah, boy.
Try Him and see.
Amen.
And I found it to be true.
Yes, sir.
You trust the Lord. You trust Him with whatever it is, your time, your money, your family. One thing I've found through life is God means what He says. If He says it's free, it's free.
Right. Amen.
If He says you're required to pay 10% tithes and offerings, you're required to pay it.
Yes, sir.
And the other thing I've seen, and I've not experienced it like some other people I've known, but if you don't pay it, He'll get it. He'll get it one way or another.
Yes, it will.
It'll be doctor bills or tires for the car, or kids getting sick, or whatever it is. And another thing about that is you pay more than 10%. The Scripture says if you keep back out, you add there a fifth part. That makes, instead of 10, it's 30%. That's pretty high interest rate. But how can God make a free offer to people like we are? You ever think about it? How can He do that? How can salvation be offered free? Well, He can do it because of what the Lord Jesus did. He went to Calvary. He died on the cross. And He paid the complete price.
Yes, sir.
He didn't make a down payment. He didn't make a certain payment, and you got to pay a lease every month. It's been several years ago now when they first started leasing new cars. I thought about it. It sounded pretty good to me, but you pay so much down, and you pay so much like a payment, and you lease a new car. But the thing of it is, after the lease is up, you either got to buy the car or you don't get it anymore.
Yeah.
Jesus paid it all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, He did.
And I like that song. Jesus paid it all.
Yeah,
all to Him I owe.
Amen.
Sin had left a crimson stain.
Yes, sir.
He washed it white as snow.
Amen.
You think about the contrast there between the crimson or the red, the blood, and the snow. I thought of that I don't know, it's been several years back now. Some of you deer hunt. Do you ever shoot a deer out there in the snow, fresh snow, and see the difference between the color of that snow and the color of the blood? There's a big difference between that. And he makes our sin just as white as that snow.
Amen.
But he does it with his blood.
Yes, sir.
Then we go on through this. I know I was assigned that one particular verse, but I like to look at some other verses. And in verse 2, last part of verse 2 and 3, we see some opportunities that we have in this. What does a person who accepts the free gift receive? There's two verses that reveal at least three opportunities there in these three verses. But what we receive, the opportunity for salvation. God promised those that come to him that their soul shall live. That's in saying that the soul shall live. That's a picture of salvation. The soul in its natural state is separated from God. And that's a terrible thing when you think about it. To be separated from God. Every soul born into this world is born a sin-stained soul, dead.
Yes.
And there's a lot of scriptures I can quote. I won't go to them, but every soul born into this world is headed in one particular direction. No matter how nice and sweet and cute a little baby may be, he's headed for hell.
Yes, sir.
Once he gets to the age of accountability,
yeah.
I do believe that babies, until they get to that age, or children when they get to that age, if they die, they're going to be with the Lord.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I don't think you can put a particular age on that. Mm-hmm. It's whenever a person gets to where they know the difference between right and wrong. Some people reach it earlier than others, and I've worked with some people, I don't think they ever did realize accountability. they didn't know the difference or didn't want to know. But when a person receives God's free offer of salvation, he drinks the water of life, and he believes the gospel. He's saved.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes the word saved gets thrown around a lot in church. And it's a special word. Sometimes I think it's used to the point where we don't really put the emphasis or understand the meaning of it as we should. It means to rescue from all harm and danger. And that's a very special word. To be rescued from all harm and danger. To think that as you sit here today, nothing can harm you. Now, I'm not going to say that things can't happen to you. I mean, I could fall down the steps and break my leg before I get down out of here. But what I'm saying is nothing can harm you. Nothing can harm you except God allows it to happen.
Right. Amen.
He's in complete control.
When, yes, he is.
When God makes this offer to a lost person and that person takes Christ as their Savior and they enter into relationship with God, at that very moment, they're delivered from the condemnation of sin. They're saved from the wrath of God. They pass from death unto life. They become a new creature, as Brother Sexton mentioned there, 2 Corinthians 5:17. They're set free. They receive salvation. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
That opportunity. It's offered to the whole world. I agree with that. But salvation is of the Lord.
Right.
God saves whosoever he will. Mm-hmm. And then it tells us that if they receive it, it says their soul delighteth in fatness. Mm-hmm. That word fatness there, it means abundance. When God saves us, he gives us new life. He gives that soul a far better life than we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
We have more than we could ever realize. He causes us to rest.
Amen.
In things. Once we're saved, we shouldn't be seeking the satisfaction of this world.
Right.
I'm not saying that there's things was wrong with wanting a warmer coat in the wintertime or better things. But that's not the main point, not the main purpose of our life.
Right.
We're to rest in what God has given us. I told Brother Dave at church the other day, he was praying for the procedure I was going to have, and it kind of got to me because I'd never been in the position of someone praying for me for something like that before. It'd always been me praying for them. Mm-hmm. But someone asked me later, are you worried about that? And the doctor, when I went down to the doctor, said, well, there's some things that can happen here. He said you can have blood clots, you can have stroke, and you can have death. And someone said, are you worried? I said, I'm not worried.
No.
I felt the Lord to bring me through, and he did. But if he didn't, I'd know what he looked like by now. I don't really know what the Lord Jesus Christ looked like. One thing I know, he don't look like that little picture you see hanging on the wall on the calendar.
Yeah.
My God don't look feminine.
Nobody.
From what I understand, he looked like an ordinary Jew of that day. He was an ordinary man. But we're not to seek the salvation of the world. We're not to worry about it. There's a lot of people that they're seeking pleasure in the wrong places. Drugs, alcohol, illicit relationships, all kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the blessings we enjoy. I mean, if I would try to list the blessings that God has given me and that I enjoy from day to day, you all be hungry by the time I get done. And I notice that clock's going by quick, and I learned a long time ago when you start hearing people's stomachs growl, it's time to quit. But I haven't heard that yet. So, but then the next point, I'll get through this before 12:30. Is security. God's promise is that he makes an everlasting covenant with. When you read that passage there, he makes an everlasting covenant. A covenant is an agreement that God makes with these people. There are some covenants that are conditional. God says, if you'll do this, I'll do that. And if you don't do this, I won't do that, or I'll do this. But this covenant only has one requirement, and that's to drink of the water of life freely. God makes an unconditional, everlasting covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called eternal security, or perseverance, or...
Amen.
Eternal life, or once saved, always saved, whatever you want to call it. It means that it's there completely, eternally, it's free. We didn't do anything to earn it, and we can't do anything to lose it. I do believe that God deals with his people. If you're a child of God, you're not going to get out here in the world and live like the devil and get by with it. God's going to do one of two things. He's either going to chasten you to where you get back in his will, or he's going to kill you and take you out of this world.
Amen.
And I've seen that happen to people both directions. I equated a lot of times to the way my mother used to deal with me when I was a kid. I'd get into something or whatever it was, and she'd say, get out of that, get out of that. And after a while, she'd say, you come in the house, sit down where I can watch you. God does the same thing with us. If we don't repent, confess our sin, that's why he says, you come on home. And there's a lot of people that's probably closer home when they realize.
Sure.
But there's some obligation to this after we're saved. There's something that we got to have. One thing we have to have is a thirst. You know, water don't taste as good when you're not thirsty. The Word of God doesn't taste as good to us if we're not wanting it. I read the scripture before I was saved, but it didn't mean what it does now.
Amen.
But once that came, and there's a desire there. God puts a desire there that doesn't exist naturally. You know, there's two things. When the Lord saved me, there's two things he really impressed on me. He had to discipline me to get me to do one of them, but two things was I need to go to church, and I need to read the Bible. And I just never got away from it. Do I read the Bible every day? No, sometimes I don't. And I realize I should, but I wouldn't ask a show of hands for anybody here that would say they do it every day as they should. We're still human.
Oh, yeah.
We fall short. But we need to hear. We need to have a thirst for the Word of God. We need to have a thirst for fellowship with God and God's people. And we need to hear God's Word. In that verse 1, that first word he says is ho. Hearken diligently. Incline your ear. Hear what I got to say.
Amen.
And they'll hear him calling. And he called. He called for salvation. And he says to come to him. We're to come when he calls. And if we don't hearken to the call, he'll get our attention one way or another. But we're to incline our ear. Now, when I say incline your ear, I'm not saying God's going to speak to you audibly. I've never heard him speak to me in a voice like you hear me speaking.
Right.
Matter of fact, it'd probably scare me to death if I did. But we'll know when that great day comes and we hear the voice of the archangel, we'll recognize it.
Amen.
We'll know that it's the Lord saying it's time to go. Whenever he calls us out of this world, I think whenever a child of God dies, he hears the voice saying, come on home.
I do too, brother.
Come home at supper time. Come on, I've got all these things set for you. So we have to listen to it. Listen to it. Make yourselves available to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. That's our responsibility. If there's a thirst in your soul for a different life, if you're dissatisfied with the way you're living, with the prospect you have of eternity this morning, mm-hmm. it's the Lord speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll hear his voice and come to him, he'll save you.
Amen.
Freely.
Yes,
he'll give you eternal life, a life that will last forever. I've got a lot of different things here, illustrations and all, but I'm not going to use them because I know people are getting hungry. I can start to hear people see the look on your face. Don's wondering, reckon they got that ready yet? You reckon that breaker tripped on that crock pot? But if you're not satisfied and you hear his voice speaking to you, you need to come to him. While he's called,
mm-hmm.
everybody that thirsts, he can make us so content that it won't matter what this world offers us. It won't matter what comes our way. We can have absolute soul satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he promises today, the freeness of salvation. We can enjoy these things freely. A rich man, poor man, middle class, it doesn't matter. God makes the same offer.
Amen.
Free to all that will accept it. And that's about all I have to say on this. It's still time to let everybody get down there and time to eat. So, Brother Mike or Don or whichever one of you.